our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 267, the verses, stanzas 1 through 4. Jehovah reigns supreme, let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim, let earth before him bow. And what follows, 267, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 14, verses 1 through 21. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 14, the first 21 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto them, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, that he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when in this evening hour of this Sabbath day we may gather under thy word and eternal testimony, may our help for all of us truly be in the name of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Thou knowest most perfectly how dependent we are upon thee for everything, and especially when we come to thy house. May our eyes be upon thee. May we be given to beg of thee, that thou may remember us, be mindful of us, grant special tokens of thy favor. Then it is thy good hand that we may place ourselves under the means of grace, different circumstances, and then we humbly beg of thee for a blessing upon thy holy word. We have heard out of the scriptures that there were those disciples that were so ignorant in heavenly ways. They have asked many questions. May there have also such souls come up that have riddles, that have questions, with a vehement desire, with that love in their heart for thee, but, ah, Lord, that know not how to be saved. Where they had hoped to become better and better, and holier and holier, and now to discover that it seems to become worse. Ah, Lord, then it is so necessary that they are taught and even further and deeper uncovered, but that the gospel may be opened unto them, and that they may taste and experience that with thee there is such a full pardon, and that is only possible through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, wilt thou remember thy children? Then we have heard of the disciples the necessity that they were taught and led further into the mysteries of salvation, that the Holy Spirit would teach them those mysteries. Wilt thou grant the strengthening of faith? Then in this evening, we have a glorious subject to handle. It is such a rich matter, and then it is for the comfort of thy children when they may be led further into those mysteries. But, our Lord, remember the unconverted. May it please thee to bless thy holy word for their eternal welfare. Wilt thou remember consistory and congregation? Wilt thou remember all those that may have a special place in the worship services, our doorkeepers, our organists, that may lead the congregational singing, and those that may take care of the sound they're recording. Lord, if it is well, then we all have an active part in being a Aaron and a Hur. And may it also be that by thy grace we may be an empty vessel. By the first time and by renewal, wilt thou so bless thy word in the church, in the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end. Wilt thou remember and bless our Christian school. Remember staff and students. When thy holy word may be opened, wilt thou grant a rich blessing. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to and fro from day to day. Remember thy church all over the earth. May it please thee to bless thy holy word among Jew and Gentile, that the earth may be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, and over most of the earth the gospel has been brought. It is a sign that the coming of thy dear Son is at hand. There have been so many places where thy word has wrought wonderfully, where there were churches, but where the candlestick of thy word has been removed, O Lord. May it be amongst us and our children that the candlestick of thy word, that it may burn brighter and brighter, and then the fruit shall be seen, and then thy name shall be greatly glorified. Wilt thou remember our country, and in a special way in the day of tomorrow. Many votes have already been cast in the weeks gone by, but, our Lord, then we may humbly beg thee that thou may yet show a little mercy. Give it not over all to destruction and to the hardness of the heart. Wilt thou remember all those in high authority? May it please thee to impress it upon their hearts that they are accountable before thee, whether they attempt to their utmost to reign over whom they are placed in thy providence according to thy holy word. On the great day of judgment, then they shall have to give an account, then they shall be questioned concerning their rule. To that end, wilt thou also remember all our courts, the judges, that of such a weighty and responsible task, and such a difficult task, especially in the days in which we live, where the truth has fallen on the streets, impress upon their hearts, that there shall be a day that they shall be the judge before the judge of heaven and earth, to give an account whether they have pronounced sentence according to thy holy word. Lord, remember our province, the premier, with all those that stand at his side under trying and difficult circumstances. Wilt thou uphold him, and may he be given to bow his knees, asking thee for wisdom, for help, and for strength. May he be given to search thy word. Wilt thou remember the governments of cities also of this town. We remember all those that work in the medical field, in places of care, that work in the emergency department. Wilt thou help? Wilt thou strengthen under trying circumstances? Lord, remember also the sick and afflicted amongst us. Thou knowest the anxious thoughts, the cares, the fears, the worries cannot be different, at times overwhelmed, but all, Lord, may they be given to humbly bow their knees, and may their eyes be upon thee, and that all the afflictions, that they may come out of thy right hand, and not out of thy left hand, that they may be sanctified afflictions. Remember the difficulties of body and the difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou grant courage to the discouraged? Remember the family circles. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and daughters? Lord, in the family circles, may thy word have authority, and may it be blessed. We commend unto thee a young couple who in the near future hope to be united in holy matrimony. May they be given to beg of thee that this may be a marriage in thy favor, not only in thy providence, and that thou may go with them to help in all the preparations, and that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Lord, wilt thou now help and remember us in speaking and in listening? Wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit to that end? Remember in the church, remember in the basement, remember in the dwellings. Oh, do open our hearts, work lovingly and irresistibly. Wilt thou bind the Satan, give a little rest in thy house, an impression that it is sinned away, nothing to plead upon, but, oh Lord, with thee there is still mercy, then we may still be in the time when there may be a half hour of silence before the great judgment shall come upon us. May we be given to seek thee earnestly, ah, Lord, to that end. Wilt thou seek out sinners, because then surely then they shall cry after thee. Do it for the glorification of thy name, and that thy kingdom may be enlarged. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 129, the five stanzas. Rejoice, ye people, homage give to God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great, the universal King. And what follows, 129, the five stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, the question and answers 46 through 49. Question 46, how dost thou understand these words? He ascended into heaven. Answer, that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Question 47, is not Christ then even with us, even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? Answer, Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth, but with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Question 48. But if his human nature is not present, wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Answer, not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. Question 49. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? Answer, first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge, that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. Thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. Lord's Day 18 speaks of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. Three thoughts. First, the glorious event explained. Secondly, the serious errors refuted. And thirdly, the blessed prophet confessed. The ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. The glorious event explained. The serious errors refuted. And the blessed prophet confessed us first. The glorious event explained. Beloved congregation, in this evening we may consider the second step of the exaltation of Christ. Maybe children, you can remember that Christ needs to be known in his names, natures, offices, states, and benefits. In the state of a humiliation, then there were five steps. They went deeper and deeper. And in the state of his exaltation, there are four steps, and they go higher and higher. And last week we have considered the first step. That was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we compare Lord's Day number 17 with Lord's Day number 18, then there is a great difference. We have seen the past week that concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there was but one question. And now with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have four questions. That does not mean that the resurrection is of less important than the ascension, but there is a special reason why this Lord's Day is longer, and that concerns the circumstances. The Heidelberg Catechism that was composed under the direction and the order of Frederick III. In the day of tomorrow, then election shall be held. And how different it is in our days. Not to idolize the olden times. It was not perfect young people in the days of old. But in the time of the Reformation, there were rulers that truly and greatly feared the Lord, that were not only concerned about the temporal prosperity of their country, but also about the spiritual prosperity concerning never dying souls. And where do the rulers come from? Where do they come from, congregation? They come out of family circles. Fathers, mothers. Alas, we live in very sad circumstances. But then the rulers, then they are formed, they are taught by fathers and mothers, by mothers that rock the cradle, of fathers and mothers that are given to instruct their children out of God's holy word. Thus, what a guilt that our country has. And of course, not only rulers, office bearers, teachers, our future fathers and mothers. Then what a responsibility, fathers and mothers. Oh, when we think of Frederick III, he has grown up in the court, Germany, of Charles V. He's lost his mother when he was 20 years old. And then his eye fell upon Marie. And then Marie has said, Frederick, you may have me upon one condition, that when we may be united in holy matrimony, when I hope to become your dear helpmeet, then you must make this promise, and that promise is that every day that we read the Bible together, and not only read, study the Bible, but also the writings of Martin Luther. And in those days, promises were not made lightly. And when they were married, Frederick has kept this promise. And the searching of the Bible and the writings of Martin Luther, that was used for the conversion of Frederick III. They were disowned by their families. They have both come out of royal families. But disowned, thus very poor, but they have experienced the blessings of the precious things of the Lord. And now in the reign of Frederick III, of course, a great division has come between the Roman Catholics and between the Protestants. That is understandable. But there was also division and different thoughts between the Protestants concerning different points of doctrine. And to that end, Frederick III has ordered, you know, the two men, Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus, they were not 50 or 60, 26 and 28. And then when we read the catechism, then we see what a knowledge, but also what a light and an experience that those men have experienced by the grace of God in the things of the Lord. Ah, let us yet tell you, when that catechism has come out, then you can understand there was much opposition. The Roman Catholics, but also by the Lutherans, because our Heidelberg Catechism, that is Calvinistic. And now there was a gathering of the high ones of the earth in Augsburg in 1566. And that Frederick III was asked, demanded to come to that meeting. All his friends have said, Frederick, do not go. We know what has taken place with John Huss. You shall be imprisoned and you shall be martyred. But oh, Frederick III was given to speak of his king, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was promised in his word what we shall forsake in this time for his cause, that shall be rewarded 1,000-fold, especially in eternity. And there he went. And he has taken his oldest boy, Glasimer, with him. I do not know how old he was, boys and girls. And then it is written, it is told, when he went before that gathering to give an account of his catechism, then his boy was carrying something very special. What do you think it was, congregation? That his oldest son, what the armor was, that was the holy word of God. Thus, what a different time. Oh, in the time of the Reformation, the churches, they were more a light and a salt. And the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, the Lord has wrought wonderfully, not only among the lower class, but also among the high ones of the earth. But now concerning the doctrine, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was different thoughts, Luther and Calvin. And to that end, in this Lord's Day, then we have more questions concerning the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ than concerning his resurrection. How dost thou understand these words? He ascended into heaven. Thus the first four words of the sixth article of the Apostles' Creed. Concerning the history in the scriptures, there is not so much written. One verse in Mark 16, Luke 24, the verses 50 through 53, and in Acts 1, the verses 9 through 12. Of course, many different expressions further in the New Testament that speak not only of the fact, but also of the blessings of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. When Christ has resurrected from the grave, then he had a divine right to immediately ascend into his Father, to ascend into heaven, and let us say, concerning that ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there was the longing of the Father that a son may return home. As parents, when their children are abroad, then what a longing there is when their son or daughter may return, that they may see him by renewal. It was the longing of the Son. Oh, he has prayed for the same in John 17. It was the longing of the Holy Spirit that he may be sent forth and that a church may be gathered, that the kingdom may be enlarged, and that the Lord may be glorified. Thus, that Christ has remained upon this earth. You know how many days, right, boys and girls? 40 days. That was for the welfare of his church. Ah, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it was necessary that his resurrection would be more and more confirmed. Then it was necessary that they would be further instructed concerning the kingdom of God. It was necessary that the sending of the Holy Spirit, we have read a portion out of John 14, when Christ has spoken also that he would depart, that he would ascend, and that the Comforter, that the Spirit would come. But then Christ also, after the resurrection, then he has spoken of those things. The things are written aforetime. They were written for our instruction, because the Lord has a people upon the earth that are so ignorant in heavenly ways. Ah, we have heard in this chapter when Christ has spoken of such precious things, that Christ has even said, ye believe in God. Do we believe in God, congregation? Believe also in me. And then we have heard of a Thomas and a Philip, that they had questions. Are there souls that are glad that it is written in the Bible that have to tell the Lord, ach, Lord, I am so ignorant in heavenly ways, and the ways seem to be so mysterious. Oh, when I believe thou hast begun, has the Lord now begun, congregation? Has the Lord now begun? We need that beginning. We need to be born again. We need to become new creatures, because also in this Lord's Day it speaks of us and of his people. Thus the beginning is so indispensable. But the Lord has a people that they need to be taught every step of the way. And then they can be so glad that they find a people in the Bible that are also so ignorant. Because Thomas and Philip, they have walked more than 3 years with Christ, sat under his prophetical ministry, and they were so ignorant concerning that priestly office. Thus, after the resurrection, then he has instructed, spoken more of the sending of the Comforter. We can read that in Acts 1, also confirmed their commission, and of Peter, all who ascended all the way, who ascend himself out of that office, it is true, at the Sea of Tiberias, his childship he has received back. Of course, from the Lord's side, he has never lost it. But in his experience, oh, the least denied his master. But now it was necessary that officially he would be reinstated in his office. And then further, oh, Christ has been so kind to his church that he has slowly weaned them from his bodily presence, that they were called upon not to live by sight, but by faith. That is a lesson that the children of God need to learn. Christ, in John 17, then he has prayed for his ascension. In verse 4, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. I have glorified thee upon the earth. And in verse 5, and now glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, the ascension of Christ prophesied. Psalm 24 we have sung together. From Psalm 47, Psalm 68, thou hast ascended on high, typified in the Old Testament. Think when the ark was brought to Jerusalem, and especially when the high priest on the great day of atonement with that blood went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in the sight of the Lord. What dost thou understand? How dost thou understand these words? He ascended into heaven. Answer, that Christ, in the sight of his disciples, when we think of an Enoch, we do not read that there were any witnesses. And with Elijah, how many boys and girls? One. But now with Christ, his disciples, that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth, from the Mount of Olivet, past Bethany, into heaven. Thus, as Reverend Hellenbrook says in his catechism book, that ascension, that it was actual, that it was local, that it was visible, that he taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest. Thus, each time, the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism, they lay it very close to our hearts, that each time by renewal, that we may examine whether we are included in those blessings, that he remaineth there for our interest. And when we hear it from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, how is it now, congregation? Already Lord's Day number 18. First question, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? That tells us not only for eternity, but comfort here in the time, the blessings, the sweetness of the service of the Lord. Then we have already heard much. Does not begin with Lord's Day number 18. We have heard from the first Lord's Day the knowledge, the origin, and the punishment of our sins. the necessity of a mediator of true saving faith, and what is necessary to believe God the Father and now God the Son. Are there times, congregation, my unconverted fellow travelers, that you go home from church, oh, so sad, that you seek for a secret place? Does that still happen when we come home? That a child, that one, is not sitting in the living room, that they are called. Then they shall do their best to wash their face, but that they go on their knees and says, "Ach, Lord," another Lord's Day in our catechism. And then we hear of such precious things, the blessings of the people of God, a people that is wrought upon and that may come to a saving knowledge of the Savior. And, "Ach, Lord, I am so poor and I feel so unconverted. And all my sins, they weigh so heavy." Is that true, congregation? Do our sins weigh heavy? But yet, even when we are unconverted, that we may still have an impression and that we say, "Ach, Lord, thou hast promised to bless thy word. May I now be included in that people, that blessed people of God, and where the Lord has begun." For those further leadings to experience those rich matters. No, does not begin with the ascension, because that is the homecoming for the church. But may it arouse to a holy jealousy, and for the people of God to make their calling and election sure. And that he continues there for our interest, until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Thus, in those last words, that declares hope for us and our children until and when shall Christ come upon the clouds of heaven? I think you know it, boys and girls. When shall that be? When the last boy or girl, youth, father and mother shall be converted. Then immediately Christ shall come upon the clouds of heaven. So that word "until," that is a word of hope. He sits the right hand of the Father, and from thence he gathers his church. Our second thought, let us first sing a Psalter 58, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. "Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summons obey. Ye doors, everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state." And what follows? Psalter 58, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, and the glorious event explained, and now secondly, the serious error refuted. Then there is asked in question 47, is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? Thus, boys and girls, to make it simple, then the question and the difficulty is that Christ has promised to his church before he ascended into heaven in Matthew 28, verse 20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is the promise. And now Christ has ascended into heaven. So the question is, has that promise now been fulfilled? And then the instructors answer, because this question, that is against the Lutherans, Martin Luther. He was brought so powerfully out of the Roman Catholic Church, but there was still some of that leaven that is cleaved unto him. And for a Martin Luther, it was on account of that love that he had for his master, such a desire that he would remain with him. And to that end, and Martin Luther, he needed the doctrine that Jesus, also with his human nature, that he would be present all over the earth. Although, of course, we can understand a human body can only be at one place at a certain time. And Martin Luther undoubtedly has experienced special blessings with the administration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And then Martin Luther shall be further explained when we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Then Martin Luther has explained that Christ would be present with his human nature, with the signs of bread and wine in the administration of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the instructors are given to explain it. It is possible, because of course everything that Christ promises, that is true, and that shall be fulfilled. Maybe a soul questions concerning those matters shall be tried in possible ways, unfathomable ways, but I'll read the scriptures. Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more upon the earth, that human nature that can only be in one place. And the disciples, they have seen it with their eyes, that he ascended from the earth to heaven till the clouds have taken him out of their sight. But with respect to his divine nature, that nature is everywhere present. And then the instructors, they have used four words, and that is for the encouragement of the church. But with respect to his Godhead, his divinity, and that includes all the divine attributes, both communicable and incommunicable, as we have learned it from Reverend Hellenbrook, that with all those attributes, he is never, never absent from his church, and he shall never forsake his people. Thus the attributes of his power, of his wisdom, ah, we could mention them all. That is now the comfort for the church, that the King who has ascended into heaven, that he wields that divine authority, that he has everything in his hands, that he shall fulfill all his counsel. We have heard in this morning that it was he was spoken of in Revelations 8 concerning the seventh seal, and now further, Godhead, majesty, that speaks of his kingship, that he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. In Psalm 2 I read, why do the heathens rage, and the kings imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us cast those bands asunder and cast those cords from us. Oh, then I read in verse 6, yet he has set the king upon the holy hill of Zion. Thus that majesty is kingship. That is a comfort for some, and a terror for enemies. The comfort for friends, and the terror for enemies. Thus, when we read of these things, of that majesty, by renewal it divides. Ah, let me simply ask you, congregation, then I do not ask you in this evening whether you have come to Lord's Day 18, but let me simply ask you, do you love the Lord and everything that is connected therewith, and that shall be visible in our life? A simple question. Do we love the Lord, or do we love him not? All we read of those solemn words when we speak of that majesty in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man, any boy, girl, youth, older one, love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. That means to be cursed. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace. Ah, that is a word of hope for us and our children, that by his grace that he is gathering his church, and where he has begun, he shall never forsake. He shall uphold. He shall remember them. Grace and spirit. Then there is asked in question 48, but if his human nature is not present, wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Not at all. For since his Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, illimitable, that means that the Godhead cannot be contained. And omnipresent, the word omni, that is Latin, means all, everywhere present. It must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed. We could perhaps give the example. We have to be careful, because examples in nature, they can never declare the fullness and the riches of the things that belong to the Godhead. When we think of the sun, it is in one place. but the sunlight is all over. And so the human nature of Christ that is only in one place, but his divine that is omnipresent, his Godhead, and therefore the instructors, and yet it is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. Our third thought, the blessed prophet confessed. Then question and answer, question 49. That is very similar to question 45 concerning the resurrection. Concerning the resurrection, what doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? And now at the end of Lord's Day number 18, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? And then the instructors have given different points, of course, closely connected to a sitting at the right hand of the Father. The ascension in itself, that is that Christ from the earth, that he has went up into heaven. And the place that is the sitting at the right hand of the Father. But now the instructors, because that advantage of that ascension, that is so closely united to the place and to that end, when they speak of the blessings for the church of God, then in the first place, first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. We have heard thereof in this morning hour out of Revelations 8, the verses 3 and 4, that the prayers of the saints that added to those prayers was that incense, the meritorial work of Christ Jesus. Christ as that great intercessor, beautiful typified in the high priest of the Old Testament, when he is carried upon his heart, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, also upon those two stones that were upon his shoulders were engraven, 6 tribes upon each stone. Thus then the high priest, he was given to carry the names of the tribes of Israel. Upon his heart and upon his shoulder. Then further, secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge, that he is the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. Christ has spoken of those matters in John 14, where we read in the verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Is there also a mansion in heaven for us? Has that become our deep concern? Whether there is a mansion in heaven for us? Because there are only two destinations. If there's not a mansion for us, where shall we then spend eternity, congregation? That is in hell. But now Christ, to those disciples, I go and prepare a place for you. Could give the example when we think of the pioneers. Then sometime it has happened that Father has went ahead and that he has built a little cabin for his dear wife and children. And then he has went back, and then they have all come. A very simple example. But that is what Christ declares. And then he has added, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a rich declaration for the disciples. Christ was the homecoming of the Son. But in that ascension lies declared a pledge, an assurance, a guarantee of the homecoming of every child of God. In paradise, we have closed the gates. Genesis 3, verse 24. The cherubims with that sword that turned every side. But now the Son has placed himself under that sword. He has merited salvation. The gates of heaven have been opened. He is the forerunner, a pledge that the church shall follow. And then further, by whose power we, that is a closing word, a word of examination, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. That is a separating word. Oh, it is true. I read of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth to the dust, and Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, then he has not overlooked the daily cares and needs of the church, how manifold they can be. But with all the needs and cares, does it bring us closer to the Lord or further away, to seek the things above and not the things on the earth? Thus the question is, what are we seeking? Are we only busy with the things of the earth? Do we expect to find our happiness and satisfaction in the things here below? Do we cleave so much to the dust? How do we spend when we have some extra time? Ah, then it is true. Then I hear mother say, sometime I wish, the midst of my busy family, that I did have a little free time, that I could think more of my soul. May the busyness of life, may it bring us more at the throne of grace. Thus, whether we seek the things above or below, to make it simple, when there is a boy and girlfriend, and the one lives at a distance, then where are their thoughts? Many times, that other place, a husband and wife, when it is a good marriage, and the one may visit family, then where are the thoughts of that husband and wife? They are in that other country. Many times figure out which time zone they are, what they are doing. You can multiply it out. And now for the church, by whose power? The church learns that they are so dependent upon the working of the Holy Spirit, but on account of that love, then their desires and their thoughts go out to the Lord. Thus, a separating word. What are we seeking, congregation? Not to despise the precious things that the Lord grants unto us and our children. And to that end, Paul has written to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of precious things. Who was able to declare their riches thereof? We have also heard a separating word. May we return to our homes, and may we be given to lay it before thee, all the unconverted, to beg of thee for the blessed portion of thy church, and where thou hast begun, well, to grant those further leadings, Lord. We may thank thee for another Lord's day, and yet a few words to speak. Well, to be the after preacher. Well, to remember in this week by renewal. Then we lay before thee the desperate and great need of our poor country. When in the day of tomorrow election shall be held, may it please thee to yet grant a few men that may stand up for thy word, for the old ways, even though they are persecuted. Well, thou remember in the home, remember the mothers with the children, remember at work, remember at school, also our older students studying in different places. Well, thou keep us from harm and danger. Keep us from sin and temptation. Well, thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Well, thou bring us safely to our homes. Well, thou be the faithful keeper, Israel. Well, thou also gather us and our children together in this week for a midweek service. Well, thou bless the labors of all of our hands, wherever we may receive a place. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 439, the stanzas 2 and 3, yet in my care, my grief and pain, I ever, Lord, with thee remain. My hand is clasped by thine forever. And what follows, 439, 2 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.